You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
Sleep, sleep, beauty bright, dreaming in the joys of night. Sleep, sleep in thy sleep, little sorrow, sit and weep. Sweet babe in thy face, soft desire I can trace. Sweet joys and secret smiles, little pretty infant wiles. As thy soft limbs I feel, smiles as the morning still, over thy cheek and over thy breast, where thy little heart does rest. Oh, the cunning wiles that creep in thy little heart asleep. When thy heart does awake, then the dreadful night shall break.
Sandman Lullaby here on RPA. Yeah, that's the Real Paranormal Activity Network. I'm trying to figure out what I was going to do tonight. And at the radio station, they're having a marathon. We're having our fall, is it our winter? I think it's our winter.
Winter marathon.
It's our winter marathon, yeah. Here at WMNF Tampa. And this is when we try to raise money to keep the radio station going. And because we only have like an operating budget of like 6 months or something that. That's Ricky sitting across from me, by the way. And this is about the only time of year, you know, we do this like, I think, 17 days out of the year trying to raise money. We're like PBS, the PBS of music in Tampa. So, yeah, if you're out there and you're able to contribute, go to WMNF.org. And hit the tip jar, and you'll learn more about the radio station that I'm at. But the thing was, I ran in the back, and I was like, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And, dude, Ricky was back there.
Ta-da.
And let me introduce you something about Ricky. I interviewed Ricky on the Realms, and that was before we started doing the Sandman Lullaby, because I do a heavy metal show at the radio station. And, Ricky, you got a show...
Yeah, Morning Soul, Saturday mornings, 3 a.m. to 6. Co-hosted by Izzy, my guy Izzy. So, every Saturday morning, 3 a.m., Morning Soul.
And it's all soul music?
It's mostly 60s, 70s, 80s, blended 90s, 2000s stuff. But I'm kind of switching my format to include, you know, light rock. Other stuff I grew up listening to as well, that's just, in my mind, classical, great, all-around songs, just, you know.
I'm sitting here hitting volumes, because my mic is like way up, and yours is like way low.
Oh, well.
Well, it goes back and forth. Okay, well, let's jump into some things. When I interviewed you once before, you were talking about you're a believer of the paranormal, the ghosts.
Yeah.
And you experienced that and in normal life.
Mm-hmm.
So has anything changed lately from that?
Well, not so much. Not so much. It's I haven't, as an adult, I guess, you know, when you're younger,
right,
child, you're more open to things because you haven't been fed a bunch of crap to believe that's not real, that is not real. You didn't see it. So what you see is what you saw.
Right.
And so, but like as an adult now, other than this one reoccurring dream that I've pretty much had the entirety of my life from like 11 to 12 until I think the last time I had it was about 5-6 years ago. But it's like now, like looking at you, like talking to you,
right,
it's like I remember it. Like just
well, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. You said it's been a reoccurring dream.
Yeah, been a reoccurring dream.
Is this the only reoccurring dream that you've had
most
of your life?
I believe I sleep in a void. I don't dream much.
What do you think the land of dreams comes from?
Well, you got a point, but like you say, some people dream every night.
Right.
I pretty much, it's like I go to sleep, it's darkness, I wake up, and I'm refreshed.
And you just, boom,
and then
close
just
your
boom,
eyes, boom.
And then when I have, it's either that dream or very, very few times I actually, especially in my adult life, I have dreams. That's like the one a couple of days ago, I remember that because it stood out in a way that I couldn't seem to grasp the concept of, you know how you try to get somebody's attention?
Right.
And for some reason, it's like everybody's ignoring you.
Right.
Like no matter what you do, nobody's paying you any attention.
Right.
Well, that particular dream was I woke up in someone's bathroom.
Right.
No idea how I got there. But in my dream, I remember going to sleep in my own house, in my own bed, whatnot. But I woke up in someone else's bathroom. Now, some of the occupants of that house I knew. But it's like I'm cross town. They're way cross town. And I have no idea how I got here, when I got here, why am I here? But except for the people who know me, the only two people who talk to me are the ones who know me, and they don't. I can't even get them to understand why I'm here because they're like, I don't get it. You're here, but you're not here. I'm like, I don't get it. I know I'm here, but I want somebody to tell me how I got here.
Right.
And I couldn't get an answer. Throughout the whole dream, I'm being accused of sleeping with someone's wife, somebody I don't know, never saw, never heard of. And it's like, he got this one problem. I'm still trying to figure out my problem on top of trying to explain to this dude. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But can you please help me figure out what's going on with me? So now that I think about it, it kind of has a comical aspect to it.
Right.
But at that time, it was just so, the realness of it was so vivid. I was like, man. And then the places I'm going in the dream, I know I've been to. I know I've been.
How do you get that feeling that you know you've been there before?
Well, because it's like it's streets.
Right.
I see this clearly. The only thing I don't see clearly are the faces of the people. But like the streets, the names.
What's your belief in past life progression or regression? Living past lives?
That's kind of a tough one to fall in line with.
Right.
But like I told you, I do have this one reoccurring dream.
Okay.
Well,
let's get into the reoccurring dream and then we'll figure out the path because you say it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm not with that particular dream. That was something different.
Right.
And by the way, I woke up still not having fully grasping what that was about. All I knew it felt weird.
Right.
It was weird. And I wanted to move on from it. But the one dream I've been having since I was like 11, maybe 11, 12, it only happened so many years.
Right.
It's the same exact thing. It's like the 1950s, 50s, the make, model, car, clothes, everything. I'm driving down a road in California, a mountain road. And apparently they got a, it's a two, I don't understand this. It's like a two lane. You got to kind of wait for these cars stop while these cars go, then these cars go, and something kind of like that.
Right.
Well, the odd thing about it is I feel like me. Everything about the being driving the car says Ricky. Spiritually, I feel me. You know what I'm saying? But when I grab the rearview mirror to look in the mirror, I see a kind of middle-aged white guy. But it's like now I'm raising my hand. When I look at my hand, I know it's me. I know it's me with every fiber. This is me. But when I look in the mirror, I don't see me. But somehow I know that's me. If that makes any sense to you. Well, anyway, driving along, and I guess they kind of have a part where it's kind of wide on the road, and one car goes around me. And at that moment, something kind of felt odd about it, because the car kind of like slows down. So now instead of moving at a decent speed, it's like a slower speed. And I noticed the guy. I checked the rearview again. I noticed the car behind me as well. And I get fired on. I get multiple from the front and the back shots fired. And going around the bend, crash through the barrier. Feel it, everything. Like frailing out, legs jerking, arms just trying to, like, kind of trying to catch yourself. But just like you, I'm feeling everything from the bullets to everything. And right before it crashes to the bottom, it's like I'm jerked out. Like I'm jerked out of whatever situation that is. And then wake up a couple years later, same dream, jerked out. A couple years later, same dream, jerked out. So can't really explain it. Tried explaining it to a couple other people who...
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Not so much looking for insight, but just trying to kind of just get it off my consciousness or get it off my mind, thinking if I tell somebody else what happened, maybe they can give me something I'm missing.
Right.
Something I'm not seeing.
Right.
And it was just kind of, but yet still haven't really got that that answer that makes it make sense for me.
Do you recognize any of the tags on the cars to tell you what location?
No, they didn't see any. They didn't see any. All I know, I got a feeling it's in California.
Right.
It's just like everything about the whole situation says I know where I am. I know who I am. But this is not. I know where I am. I know who I am. I know I'm on this road. I know I'm in the state of California. But this is me, not me, driving this car. It's me being shot, but it's not me being shot. But so it's like I feel it. Like if somebody came up and punched me in my face, I feel it like it's really happening to me. But right all the time, right before it crashes, I'm jerked out.
Have you ever did research on this?
No, never. So because I never really gave it much thought. Like after the first time,
right?
Then it happened a second time. I just thought it was just, I don't know, just all right. I guess throughout my life, just at some points in my life, this is just going to come up. And until I figure it out or just decide to ignore it, keep ignoring it, it's just going to finally play itself out at some point.
Well, see, that's what made me wonder about past life regression. If you ever did past life regression or anything like that.
No, I'm not saying I don't believe, but it's Because something like that, to a degree, kind of would make you, well, maybe it was a different life. But then you're like, well, goddamn, if it's a different life, then maybe I need to straighten up in this one.
Well, no, that's the biggest thing that I've really learned about getting knowledge. And I'm not sure if I'd call myself, what title I'd actually call myself. But the one thing I've learned, it's live it.
Live it.
Live it. Mm. Live it. Live it to the core. Ride that donkey.
Hey, that's the...
I mean, if you got to make it rain, make it rain.
Hey, that's the plan. But, you know, I am trying to achieve financial freedom.
Yeah, I think we all are. Hey, since you were talking about that, what about... tell me a little bit about your grandmother.
On my father's mom, I don't really know much about. I know she's still alive. My grandmother, Martha, who's in Mariana, Florida, she's in her 80s. Very, I would like to see a spiritual woman. You know what? I can't. Because.
If you could think of one thing that she probably taught you, what would you say she taught you?
I wouldn't say go with the flow, but to not shy away from what you believe. That's kind of the main aspect of what she kind of, not force fed, but made us understand. If you have an understanding of something, don't let nobody change your perspective of it. And you know, she's a heavy Christian woman, stuff like that. Now, if you were asking me about stuff like what I just explained to you, I would have to tell you about my great grandmother.
Okay, tell me about your great grandmother.
She's the one who would tell me. She wanted me, from my understanding, when I was younger, she liked to have me around her a lot. And she lived like deep in the woods, kind of old shack houses, outhouse on the outside. Well, before she had one built, before she moved into a more modern house, kind of before she passed away. But when I remember from the first time I met her, just that house. The outhouse, because it was my first time ever seeing a house with an outhouse where you can't go to the bathroom in the house. It was my first time ever seeing that. And for some reason, she used to like me to just be out there, stay with her, just probably visit, spend a night, stuff like that. So, but she was more when I saw, I would see a lot of things kind of out that way. I would say just I just thought it was just a country, you know, because I came from the city to the country, staying with my grandparents, meet my great grandmother, stuff like that. And so you out there in the woods playing and you're by yourself, imagination kind of run wild. That's like one time I thought I saw an entity in her house. And when I told her about it, she went and got the Bible and said, let's pray. Didn't fully grasp why we needed to do that, but it kind of stuck out to her. Then I saw something else. She was cooking and I was sitting at the table talking to her. And you know how you see something, but you're not sure, kind of the parenthetical, you think, so when you turn, you don't see nothing, so you don't think much about it. And she bent over and she was in the refrigerator and I saw something run by her. Now she ain't got no cats. She got a dog, but it's outside. And I know the difference between a dog and something. So I looked and kind of got speechless. And then it came by again. And I guess she was trying to find something in the refrigerator. So she was talking to me at the same time. And I can't say anything, but I see it clearly this time. And it kind of stopped in points. And when it ran off the last time is when she was like kind of lifting out. She was kind of like lifting out of the refrigerator. She found whatever she was rummaging for, came back, and I told her what I saw. And when I described it to her, once again, had to grab the Bible, pray, stuff like that. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I've seen the most stuff at in the country. Younger, kind of open to it. Ain't really been told it's not true. ain't really been told it's not believable, stuff like that. So young, imaginable, I guess.
And what lesson did she teach?
I believe, just have faith. Because like I said, once again, kind of heavy on the spiritual side, heavy Bible person, not out. Gotta preach the word. I just met you and I gotta tell you about Jesus. But her faith was strong and she did believe in demons and angels and stuff like that. So I guess when I kind of described it to her, it wasn't nothing new. She didn't make light of it. She didn't just dismiss it as a child's imagination running. She actually, in my mind, she actually took it to heart and felt praying and saying and speaking the word over the situation would kind of make it better or go away.
She had belief in it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So
ratio of you said you don't dream as much as you normally maybe somebody else would. I really don't believe that. But the ratio between good dreams, bad dreams.
I would say not that bad. Not that far apart.
Action dreams.
Very few. Where I'm actually doing something strenuous, I would say.
Have you ever woke up in a situation where you thought that, you know, you hit on something earlier, but like you're out of body, like maybe astral projected or anything like that? Or have you ever studied astral projection?
No, I've never studied it, but that's kind of what I felt. That's kind of what I felt, especially it may seem simple, but you know, the kind of like when you go to the bathroom,
right?
But you think you're going to the bathroom, stuff like that. But like I said, it's few and far. Because I don't...
Do you think that could actually... Somebody that doesn't really practice and that something happened just out of the blue that would possibly be astral projection?
I can't be definitive of it, but I would say so.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah. It's because, you know, some people, you know, they don't naturally need to be taught. They just... Boom. And then they just surprises the hell out of you.
Well, if I could do that, then... that would be awesome.
If you could meet any... What now?
I said if I could actually do that, that would be awesome for one.
Right.
Just to be able to just like be out of body and be anywhere you want, see whatever you want, and still make it back to...
Yeah.
See, you want to know what's crazy about that? Some of my favorite movies are the Insidious movies.
Right.
And you know... the little boy can leave his body,
right?
But you got all the other ghosts that want to come back to life, and it's like an empty shell that they can fill only if they can get there before he gets back. So that's kind of, I know that's kind of off from what we're saying, but it just kind of put me in that mind state a little bit.
That's good. Living or dead, because we're almost reaching the end of this real here. Mm-hmm. Living or dead, if you could meet anybody in your dreams, who would that be and why?
My father. I would say my father and my grandfather.
When did they leave?
My father left when I was probably about 10, 9. My grandfather a couple years after that.
How old were you?
My grandfather passed. I was probably, I would say 13, 12, somewhere up in there. But my father had got sick, but I didn't really know him. So I would like to, what I know of him and what I heard of him from my mom, I would like to say is one sided, because she has her memories and the things she went through. So I can't say she can't feel how she chooses to feel, but it's two sides to every story. And since she left to get away from him. I'm not saying he was no saint. I'm not saying she was telling no stories or just embellishing the truth to trying to make us be like he was just this terrible, terrible person. But I would like to speak with him for one, just on that, just to get his side of things. And I guess just to spend some time with my father. That would be one person. and my grandfather, just so I could say thank you. There's a whole lot that was done. Like I said, when we came down, there was a whole lot that was done that went unappreciated. That me, myself, just didn't understand how he was and why he was the way he was. But as I got older and I became a father, and certain decisions had to be made, and you got to do certain things and look a certain way to your kids, you kind of start to grasp what your parents or your grandparents went through or whoever raised you. You start to understand. So I would like, one would just be to tell them thank you for what you could give me and what you did give me. So, which was a better understanding of being a man, which I didn't understand at that time, but now I fully do. Being a father, a grandfather, stuff like that now. So,
dude, you just step up, just boom, there you go. I'm about to get out of here. Usually, like I said, we're heard all over the world.
Yeah,
all over the world. I can't even say all the number of countries. It's 100. You know, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. Because like we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, blah, blah. It's just Aaron Hunter did a lot of footwork to get the RPA network really where it's at right now. And I'm gonna sit back from the microphone. And I want you to hit me with some of your words of wisdom. It's going out to everybody out there. So let them know what Ricky has to say. You know?
Okay, I'll jump right into that. But okay. Can I say this first?
Go ahead.
Shout out to my homeboy, Thomas Frick. Young. We've started doing some indie movies. And he has a YouTube channel, The Darkest Case. Season 1 and 2 is out. I myself appear in season 3. We just recently did a short, which was at the Tampa Bay Film Festivals, stuff like that. Got great reviews, called Cold Dawn. And yeah, shout out to him and shout out to my kids, my girlfriend, my lady, Ethel Jackson, who you met that night. Yeah. That we're here.
Yeah.
Still a handful, still a firecracker, man. Yeah, but if I was able to give anybody any advice that they would find worthy of listening to, it would be just live, man. Live fullest, man. I heard something that stuck with me a long time ago is, I don't want to die full. I want to die empty. And I didn't understand the meaning of that at that time, but now I completely do. It. You got dreams. It don't matter how old you are. You got places you want to go. It don't matter how young you are. Well, it does matter how young you are. But when you're of age to make those decisions,
right,
live, man. Do it. Because one thing I've learned is that the one place you find the most ideas, and I always ask people this, where's the one place you get the most ideas that were never manifested? The dreams that were never accomplished? The things that people always wanted to do that they never did? And a lot of people like to tell me prison, because there's so many people in prison who can do so many amazing things. And I tell them the graveyard. I tell them the graveyard because there's people who had ideas that could have probably changed certain aspects of life for us as we know it today. But they wasn't financially able, so they never went forward with even trying to make it happen. There's musicians, there's storytellers, there's books we'll never know. There's songs we'll never hear that probably could have been monumental to your life in some form or fashion. So live. Don't die full. Die empty. Whatever you're trying to accomplish, go forward. Do it. Make it happen. It don't matter how much time. One of my favorite singers passed away last year, Charles Bradley. 63 years old when he finally got his break. At some time, it will love you back. Just never stop loving what you want to do. That's all I could. That's the only advice I would give people, man. Live.
Dude, can't do nothing better than that. Because without that, boom, you drop to the ground.
Yeah.
Don't forget, on Monday, you have Aaron Hunter and Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. He actually takes your stories that you send in and talks to you about the world of the paranormal. And on Tuesday, if Aaron Frail is back, he broke his leg, so we're not really sure when he's going to be back. But if he has something he should have something then. Maybe, maybe not, but there's no rush on it. Aaron, you're the man. And on Wednesday, you have Terry Davenport with Terry's Mysterious Moments. He does, like, Bigfoot things and cryptoids, haunted hotels, and just anything really crazy like that. Hey, quick question. If they need to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can reach me at you can hit me email at collinsricky40@gmail.com. I got you can hit me on Facebook at Ricky Collins. You can hit me on Twitter at GutterSouth 813. That's GutterSouth 813. It's kind of just the platforms right now. Those three mainly.
Dude.
At your time.
You're out there, party man. I think that's about it.
All right. I appreciate you having me.
Dude, I appreciate you being my savior. Like I said, I've been waiting to see you. I was like, dude, come here, come here. I could do this real quick.
Yeah, well, we supposed to got together a couple months back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were supposed to,
guess. Well, see, this is season two now. That was season one. See, okay. I just jumped into a next season.
Okay.
So, which is actually pretty cool. So, this is like the third show of the second season, so yeah, it's we're going places. We got like there's going to be a video show on the network.
Oh wow!
So you got the podcast, then you got like video of paranormal ghost teams and stuff like that. It's all part of the network. It's, you know, we're somewhere. We're up and coming. We're up and coming. What can I say? RPA Network.
RPA Network.
I'll have to save that. that'd be my station ID. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is Patrick Sean Jones saying thank you. See you next time. And you've been in the Sandman Lullaby. See you next time.
Same bat channel, same bat time.